Good afternoon, folks. This is Pastor Craig, and we're broadcasting live WGH Talk Radio from the Marion County Fair. And it's good to have you hanging in there with me this afternoon. I encourage you to come down to the fair and stop by our table. We're in the Coliseum. We're in the middle vendor rows, and we'd love to see you. You can shout out to us or give us a wave or a holler. And stop on by. Those of you who are sitting comfortably in your home and want to stay comfortably in your home, again, thanks for listening. I've got a action-packed hour ahead of us. And then after myself, Scott Spears and Sean Kraft and whoever else they might have are going to be here from 6 to 8. So we still have 3 more hours of programming for you live from the Marion County Fair. This broadcast is being sponsored by Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. Study His Word Radio can be heard by going to WWGH1071.com and selecting the archive page. Also, you can hear Study His Word Radio's weekly podcast at studyhiswordradio.org. Come down, have fun at the fair. All right, well, I got all kinds of guests here this afternoon. And first I want to take a few minutes. He's somebody who's here at the fair, has a booth to fair, so I can't keep him away from his booth too long. We'd like to spend a few minutes with him. And if you've been a listener, you're going to recognize his name. James Anderson from the Marion County Park District.
Yes.
Welcome.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, peachy.
Well, we'll just jump right into it. I saw you there. When I was walking down all the food booths.
That's right. You
looking at all the delicious food.
Yes, you had a plate of food on
I
your
did.
Hand. Yeah.
And there you were sandwiched in between, I don't know, it was French fries and strombolis or lemon shakes.
Yes.
You were there.
It's tempting, that's for sure.
So, tell everybody, if they come down and they're walking around and checking out those food booths, what will they find at your booth for the Marion County Park District?
Yeah, so we are just right parallel of the grandstands. So we're actually this year are partnering with the Ohio Division of Wildlife. We're sharing a tent together. And so if they come visit us, they can talk to the wildlife officer, Chad Grody. He'll be there on certain days. So if they have any hunting or fishing questions, he would be the person to ask. And, of course, with the park district, they can ask us things from Tallgrass Trail to our other county parks that we are in charge of, and, of course, our nature programs, and also any other kind of nature question. I always get all kinds of fun nature questions.
Let me ask you this first. For some you may not be familiar, the Marion County Park District, how many separate parks do you manage?
Five.
Five.
Yep.
And they are?
Marion Tallgrass Trail, that's the main one. That's the big biking, hiking trail. The Teradyce Nature Preserve, which is out by Caledonia. The Greensburg Nature Preserve, which is north of Prospect. If you know where the old power plant was, it was right across from that. The Myerswoods Nature Preserve, which is on the Marion-Wyandotte County border, right across from the Plains. Now, we do have one in the village of Caledonia. It's not accessible at this time.
Okay.
And if they come to our booth, we do have a park brochure that shows where they're all located and has a GPS address, so you can put in your phone, your GPS, and they'll take you to those parks.
That's great. So what else will they find at your booth?
Oh, my goodness. All kinds of stuff. Skins, our skulls, our animal pelts, some other animal body parts like turtle shells, deer antlers, of course, the fake poop or the fake scat. That seems to be the big attraction. And, of course, kids are like, Mommy, look, that guy got poop on his table. So, yes. Kids love that.
Now, you don't have any live animals, do you?
No. It's just a little too hot. Right. When I did this 8 years ago, we did, and it's a lot of stress on animals, especially if we're doing it for 6-7 hours for a day.
Right. So, obviously, you probably have some of the more common pelts.
Yes.
But you also have some unusual pelts.
Yes.
So, kind of give us an idea of some of those.
So, some of the unusual ones, I have mink and muskrat, which, yes, are somewhat common, but you really have to keep your eye out for. Some of the common ones I have is like your raccoon and coyote, but they are actually different colors. Like the coyote is a blonde color, And the raccoon is a very dark color. It's actually what's called melanistic, which just means very dark pigmented.
I see. So, anything else you want to say about the booth?
We also will have little crafts that kids can pick up and take home. Of course, we have the map of Tallgrass Trail. So we have some of our publications. And then with the Fish and Wildlife, they have some of their ones, like from mammals to fish to birds. Also, too, if you're a hunter, he has some of the permission slips and also some fishing and hunting regulations.
Okay. Now, on a kind of a wider scale, what are any special events you have coming up either this week if a family's on vacation or this month? What's on tap for July?
So for July, probably the biggest thing I have is my prairie plant tour at the Beaver Wildlife Area, which is outside of the city of Marion, right off 739, heading towards Green Camp. But in September, we have our big paleontology in our park, which is our dinosaur events. So we do have a display poster explaining about paleontology in the park event, and also a piece of paper if they want to take it home, because we will be announcing probably at the middle of next month about that event. And that's probably our second largest event.
Okay. Now, this is totally unprepared. You have no idea I'm going to ask this question, because I'm just kind of off the cuff.
It's all right.
But
I'm used to what Charlie used to do. Things used to come all off.
I'm asking because it just kind of popped into my head a little while ago, and because I don't know. So, obviously, what I'm going to ask you about, it's late in the season for that. But are there opportunities for the summer for, like, high school students to do any internships with the park district?
Or? Yes. Actually, my intern right now just graduated from Pleasant.
Okay.
Jonah Bodle. He was a junior last year. So, yes, we usually will start advertising about February, early March-ish. So, yes, we are looking for high schoolers, college students, say naturalist interns. So that means you will do education programs for all ages. So Jonah, he has been doing a fabulous job, and he will be going to Marion OSU once he's done with us. He's going to go there and then go down to the main campus for zoology. He wants to be a vet for his specialty under reptiles. He's really big into reptiles.
Oh, interesting. Now, you have one internship?
Yes, just our one, yes.
Okay. Well, I know you have to get back to your booth.
Yes.
Your family is manning the booth for you, so make sure you tell your wife and kids I said thank you.
I will.
So, again, I want to thank you for being here today.
Yes.
And is there any one last thing or any point you want to make before you go?
After you're at the fair, if you got extra time, go out and explore your Marion County parks.
All right. Thank you, James.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, folks, that was James Anderson from the Marion County Park District. And so check out his booth if you're there. And I want to thank James again for coming. All right, folks, if I'm going to sound like a broken record, but if you've been listening to WWGH for very long, you're going to recognize this next person. It's the one, the only, and it's somebody that I'm actually humbled to consider him a friend. Above and beyond anything that we may do together on radio, I really consider him a friend. My good friend, Nate Redmond. How are you doing, Nate?
Great, Pastor Craig. Sounding good. First hour. What a wonderful time to remember what America started by. You know it?
Yes.
It really was.
I had mentioned to Scott, I said, hey, you got on the 4th of July, do you guys do anything special, read the Constitution, read the Declaration of the Independence? And he said, well, traditionally we have always read the Declaration of Independence on the air. And I said, I'd like to do that. He goes, good. So I did it, and after I really read it, and I have to admit, it's the first time, not the first time I'd ever read it, but it's the first time where I really paid attention to what it said.
You know, and that's something?
Yeah. We read it in school,
yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know, it becomes kind of long, and they got all these complaints against the king, and they use words we don't use.
Yeah.
And
you see the early writings, you know, and the letter that looks like an S, Pursuit of Happiness, and it's the F, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. It's pronounced an S, but it's written an F, so when you read the word, it's like, wait a minute, what have they got
there? Yeah, what were they trying to tell us, you know? But there was a lot they were trying to tell us, too, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
Wow, yeah. What a day, you know?
Yeah.
No?
So that brings me to my question. As I was working on this declaration and that, I'm 64 years old. So I was thinking about when I was a kid, what we did for, I apologize if you are picking up any of the background noise.
Yes, we are live from the fair after all.
Yeah, and they have other things going on in the Coliseum. But anyway, I was thinking, remembering what we had done as kids, and I got thinking about it, and I was wondering, has it changed much over the years? Does everybody still do the same? So, when we were kids, 4th of July, we had a parade in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Our neighborhood had a parade. And so we all decorated our bicycles, and a large number of the streets would have a float. You know, I lived on Satinwood. And so there was the float that the residents of Satinwood put together. And then everybody who lived on Rockwood, they built a float.
Okay.
And so, you know, our 4th of July parade was a lot of floats. It was all the different, you know, streets in the neighborhood, and all the kids decorated their bikes. And, you know, then our parents, that night, our parents would pack us up in the car, and we drove to the bigger neighborhood. Had its fireworks. And so that's how I remember the 4th of July from when I was a kid. And it got me thinking about it. You know, a lot of that neighborhood decorating the bikes and floats and neighborhood parades have gone away. They're more like communities, like the Northland community,
right,
or the West Side community. So, you know, a lot of those don't have it by the neighborhood, have it by the community. I think we're still all, you know, fireworks never change. So that's one of the things I was thinking about. But tell me about, Nate, kind of experiences you had when you were a kid in 4th of July.
Well, growing up, we always went to my grandparents on my father's side. So it was Grandma and Grandpa Redmond's house. And we'd go over there, and we'd always have a barbecue. And Grandma would always have, I don't know, it could have been just a 3x5 flag, but I always remember it bigger than that. She would fly this huge American flag, and I remember it snapping in the breeze, you know. And when we turned into the drive, now they have, I can't tell you exactly how many acres, but my grandpa still farms out part of his property, so there's a lot of acreage around there. So when we would come onto his land, you know, I would always look for that flag. Sure enough, it'd be snapping in the breeze. We'd pull up, you know, and then there'd be Grandma and Grandpa to greet us, you know. And all the cousins at that time, we all lived, my dad's brothers and sisters all lived in the area. So all the cousins would get together and play and have a good time. And for several of us, the ages weren't that far apart. So we, for the most part, we got along very well. And so we had this whole big area of land to just play on. Grandpa would hook up his tractor and had this makeshift wagon. And he'd take all the grandkids' rides, pulling this with his tractor around and around. You know, we'd make him go around and around.
Do it again, Grandpa.
Do it again, Grandpa. Do it again. And then my one uncle always loved to bring, he would do this on Thanksgiving too, but he would always love to bring clay pigeons. And there's plenty of room, so, you know, there's plenty of room to shoot. So he'd always, everybody would take a shot. I'm still a bad shot. I cannot shoot one worth anything. Maybe ping just a little bit off the edge. But he'd love to shoot the clay pigeons. So we would do that. And then at that time, Delaware was the place we would go for the parade. But up until just today, the parade was always at 3 in the afternoon. So we would have the barbecue first, and of course, hamburgers, hot dogs, bratwurst, and my mom makes a mean side dish of squash casserole. Sometime I'll have to bring you some. It's really good. And back then, you know, she'd take that over there, and she made it today, as a matter of fact. But back then, growing up, she would take a side dish, and we would have the typical side dishes there, and Grandma would put on quite the spread, you know. So we would eat. But after we'd eat and all that, we would all pile in the vehicles, and not so much the uncles, because they didn't care too much about going to the parade, but all of us kids and aunts, we would go to the Delaware Parade. And, of course, you're familiar with Delaware,
yep.
So you know where the Dairy Depot is.
Oh, yeah.
Right there on that corner is where we would always go and watch the parade in that shady area right there.
I actually lived at one time about 4 blocks away from the Dairy Depot.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. Now, down on Union Street, which is just down there, there's a church there that my grandparents have gone to for many years. It's called the Delaware Bible Holiness Church. Well, we would always park there, and that's just a tiny little walk up to that corner. Yep. So we would park there. Nobody would park there because that was their church. You know, it's private property anyways. But we could park there. So we'd park there, drive a little bit. We'd get ice cream, and we would just hang out and watch the parade. Now, back then, there was a lot of candy given out. Today's parade, not so much. But back then, you'd take your grocery sack because there was a lot of candy given out. And the parades back then were a lot longer, too. I mean, a good solid hour for a parade. And I believe that parade still kicks off at the Delaware Fairgrounds and comes up and rounds that corner of Sandusky right there, makes that turn right there and heads up Sandusky. But so we would do that parade. And then afterwards, we'd go back to Grandma's and hang out, and we'd eat again, even if we weren't hungry. We'd have the leftovers and warm them back up, and then we would just hang out until the fireworks show. Now, different people would go to different fireworks show, but most of us would always go to the Delaware fireworks show, and which is where Amber and I are still going to go tonight. But we'd go down there, and there's a concert band that plays. In fact, they still do it. Amber and I quit going so much because we wanted to get parking and get to the place early, because it's a lot more packed out now than it was back in the early days. I mean, you could find a seat for the fireworks, no problem back then. But if you want to get close, you got to get down there and reserve your spot. So we get there about 2 hours early now to make sure we get our spot. But it's interesting the changes through the years. You know, back then, you know, the parades were longer. There were a lot more candy.
And more floats.
More floats. You're right. People took time to make the floats.
I personally think that's probably the biggest change in parades from days gone by to parades now. It's the way we made floats back then and decorated them. There's very few done today.
Very few. In fact, in today's parade, maybe 2.
Right.
You know, people have the cars with the wraps, you know, the wraparounds, which look really sharp. I mean, they're appealing to the eye to see. They advertise the business well, but there's nothing like a good old-fashioned float.
That's right.
I mean, you know, some people would say, oh, well, those were tacky. I don't view it that way.
No.
They were just cool.
They were a work of art. I mean, let's be honest about it. They were a work of art. A lot of thought went into them. A lot of labor went into them. You know, they were a work of art.
Yeah, I mean, the Boy Scouts used to do one. Now the Boy Scouts just typically, today they were just marching with a flag, which was great. Love to honor the American flag. Yeah. Love to see the Boy Scouts. But back in the day when they did the floats and had the Boy Scouts on there, you know, that's just one group. An example.
Right. Yeah, they either walk the parade now, or they all pile on a wagon that's being pulled by something, but it's just a wagon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. You know, churches are another thing that are absent now.
Yes.
Back in the day, church after church after church. Now, you talk about candy. Those churches back in the day gave out the candy.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed today. Amber, did we see one church today in the whole, not one church in the entire Delaware parade?
Wow.
I was a little disappointed. Of course, being a guy that was raised in the church, you know, I look for that sort of thing. But no churches, you know. It just seems like that would be an opportunity to capitalize on.
Right.
I know one year, several years ago, a church went down through and gave out Freezy Pops. You know those little...
Sure.
Yeah, they were giving out Freezy Pops to everybody. And they would just say, hey, have a Freezy Pop. And they listed off the name of their church. And they gave you a little card. Well, you know, it may have been magnetic, and we kept it a while, which is top-notch. I mean, if you're going to do something for marketing, slap that thing on somebody's refrigerator. That's a good way to remember.
I got
it's interesting.
You keep talking. I'm writing myself a note here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Get yourself a magnet. Pass those out.
There you go.
But, you know, it is interesting how times have changed
things.
You know. Some better, some not. I'm grateful that... that there are parades that are still available to go
to.
You know. Now, one thing that did cause a stir in the Delaware area, I don't know if you saw it, they did change their title for today's activities from Independence Day Celebration to something like American Celebration or 4th of July Celebration, and people were pretty upset because, you know, it's Independence Day. They changed the thing.
On Christmas, you celebrate Christmas.
Right.
On Easter, you celebrate Easter. On Veterans Day, you celebrate Veterans Day. On Independence Day, you celebrate independence.
Yes.
And I was thinking about it. It's funny you bring that up because I was thinking about this earlier. This is the one holiday that the date of the holiday, July 4th, has really kind of become the more common way people talk about it than what day it is. You know, for instance, okay, so this is Independence Day. When we have Christmas, we always talk, what are you doing for Christmas? Anybody, you know, do you have your shopping done for Christmas? Easter, same way. Memorial Day, are you going to do anything for Memorial Day? But Independence Day, we've gotten to the point where we always say, are you doing anything for the 4th? Where are you going for the 4th?
And I'm as guilty as anybody. In fact, I'm sure I did it today, wishing, hey, happy 4th.
Right.
You know, and it's Independence Day.
It is Independence Day. That's right.
So it's named that for a reason.
So that I didn't know that about Delaware, but that's interesting because I was just thinking about that today. How we've allowed this holiday to kind of, we call it something else, and really calling it the 4th, saying July 4th, really does take away from the meaning.
What's
the holiday? The holiday is July 4th. No, the holiday is not July 4th. You know, the date is insignificant. It's Independence Day. It just so happens that it happens to be July 4th.
Yeah, and I know that people say, you know, they do this with Christmas when they write Merry Xmas and they say Happy 4th, like you'll say. It's an abbreviation. It's shorter, but you know, at least. Take a moment to remember that it really is Independence Day, and you know we did get our independence, we have our freedom,
right.
and things that you were mentioning in the first hour.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's interesting how things have evolved over the years. Parades have gotten shorter, candy has gotten more sparse.
Right. By and large, the one thing that really hasn't changed too much, and that's fireworks. Now, you know, there quote some improvements to the fireworks. And more attention is paid, you know, who can do the biggest, you know, display. But by and large, that's really the one thing on Independence Day that hasn't changed much over the years.
No, just the, I remember the first year they said, okay, Delaware is going to be all computerized. You know, we're not going to have anybody lighting it. All computerized, and there really that wasn't that much of a difference, you know.
Right.
And even my brother-in-law, Of course, he didn't have much of one this year because he had an accident. But usually, he has a show, and even his are computerized. So, you know, everybody's computerized anymore, yeah. Which, you know, I think makes things safer.
Right. In the overall effect of what you see,
it doesn't really
most of the improvements that have occurred over the years are not visible to the naked eye, as
they
say.
Right. Yeah. Another change, when Amber and I first started dating and first got married, we always would go down the red.
It was like mid-80s or somewhere around in there. I mean, it was literally the third year before.
Okay. Was it crazy crowds yet or not?
I thought then the crowds were crazy and people were crazy. And that was only the third year they'd done it. I mean, what I see on TV, what I hear from people, I mean, it's 10 times what it was when I went. And I thought it was crazy then.
Yeah. The last time I went was 2015, and I've heard that it's gotten worse. It was funny, last night Amber and I were just watching it, you know, from the comfort of our own couch.
Right.
So we were watching it, and it ends, and Amber walks to bed. She said, "I'm going to bed. I'm already out of traffic." But, you know, that's interesting, though, because people know how to make a buck down there off of parking, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, last time I went, they were charging about $25 to park. And then the thing of it was is they would park you in, too. And so you'd have to go find the guy, if he was around, to get your key, because he would keep your key because he wanted to park somebody in front of you because he wanted to utilize that space, you know.
Yeah.
Good luck finding the guy, first of all. And then, let's see, what does your key look like?
Yeah.
I don't know what your key looks like.
Pulls a handful out of his pocket. Which one of these is yours?
Yeah, which one of these is yours? I'm like, all right. Fortunately, Amber's always decked out her keys, so we can usually find them. But I'll tell you, you'd be a true patriot if you want to pull off one of the red, white, and boom anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, you're either a true patriot or you're absolutely crazy. I don't know which.
That's a good question.
just watch it. They'll stream it on Facebook, put it on TV for you, and you'll be fine.
Well, Nate, I don't think it's possible. I'm not aware of it being possible for you and I to get together and do something like this and the subject of food not come up.
Don't think so.
Despite my cumbersome segue, welcome to the food portion of our show.
Yes, welcome to the food portion. We love it. We love it.
So you just got here, so you haven't had a chance to sample any of the fair food.
Correct. We just walked around briefly, yes.
Are you going to take time to sample the fair food, or are you heading out?
Well, we're heading out pretty quick, but okay. Amber saw the deep-fried desserts.
Ah, see?
Yeah. Now, have you tried that yet?
Not this year.
Okay.
You know, last year.
I remember last year you brought several samples to the WGH booth.
That's right, that I purchased from one of the vendors here, the deep-fried Snickers bar.
And Buckeyes, didn't you?
Yeah,
and
Oreos.
Yeah, Oreos, yeah, and I think some of us took some of it home, yeah.
All right, so Amber's going to get, she's going to do the...
She might get a deep-fried dessert on her way out,
all right,
yeah.
So you're not going to get anything.
Well, if I do, I'll split it with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
If Amber wasn't here or didn't want that, and it was 100% totally up to you, Nate, what would you most likely get from the fair?
Well, this year, I would probably try to find, because at the end of last year, I forget what fair or festival was at the very end last year. I don't know if it was the Lancaster Fair we went to, or if it was the Union County Fair, but one of those fairs at the end of the season, I went and got a funnel cake, but I got it topped with, yes, you remember that? We got it topped with s'more topping.
Oh.
And if they're selling s'more toppings on a funnel cake, you talk about a must-have. Oh, you got to try it.
Well, if you see one, you better tell me about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you talk about good. I think... just trying to remember from the booth last year, I think strawberry shortcake topping. I mean, the different toppings offered. I mean, these weren't your basic funnel cakes.
Right.
These were jazzed out funnel cakes. I mean, they were really good.
That's
really good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So,
Well, I've had two chances to sample fair food here.
Okay.
So, yesterday when I was here, I walked down there, and I ended up getting... I stopped at the Wagner Farm Pork.
Yes.
Wagner Farm Pork. And I stopped at their booth, and I got one of their bratwurst. And let me tell you, it was really good.
Okay.
But what the major thing that I noticed was, if you want a real farm product, you know, from people on the farm, you won't be disappointed, because their bratwurst yesterday didn't taste like anything like the bratwurst you buy at Kroger.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with the bratwurst you buy at Kroger, but this tasted totally different, and it was really good. And it wasn't overly spicy.
Okay.
So if you're...
Didn't knock you off your feet.
Right. So if you don't like it spicy, you don't have anything to worry about there. But it was a really good bratwurst.
Okay.
So,
any particular toppings that you went with?
Just mustard.
That's it.
Just
okay.
Yep.
Did they split it down the center for you?
No.
Okay.
Didn't.
Okay. So it's just a big old. So yeah, open your old mouth and just chomp down
in.
On
That's
it.
Right. So my hat's off to Wagner Farm. I think they call it Wagner Farm Pork.
Wagner Farm Pork.
Yeah.
Fresh as can be.
Yes. So then today, I was wandering down there, and I stopped at a booth that had tacos and things like that. And what he had was a crunch wrap, which is basically, it was the same thing as the Taco Bell crunch wrap. You know,
crunch wrap supreme that you get.
Yeah,
with the outer
flour tortilla.
Right.
They stick the corn. The round corn tortilla inside, and they put all the toppings inside.
Yep.
Then they fold up the edges of the soft wrap, and then they warm it in the oven. They toast it in there.
Yep.
And you could walk by there and say, well, I can get that at Taco Bell, but this was really good, and it was 10 times better than your fast food, because basically you got like three times the ingredients in it.
Okay.
I mean, they gave you, you know, plenty of, you know, the sour cream and the lettuce and the tomato and the onions and everything. So they really should call it a stuffed crunch wrap. That's what you should call it.
So was beef your only option that you could
get
in?
No, you have beef or chicken.
I had the chicken. You had the chicken?
Yes.
And, cubed or shredded?
Cubed.
Okay.
Cubed, yeah. So, yeah.
Really good. No complaints.
Really good. Yeah. And it was very reasonable. And speaking of reasonable, I want to kind of just do a plug here for a minute. Folks, if you're coming down here to the fair, I realize probably 75% of you, when you're coming down to the fair, fair food is number one on your list. Okay? But I just want to make you aware that here in the Coliseum, the Coliseum has a food booth open, and the fair has contracted with the Harding High School Athletic Boosters to run and manage the booth. It's a fundraiser for the Harding Athletic Boosters, but there you can get hot dogs and, you know, Cokes and, you know, all those things that you would typically find at, you know, a concession stand. And the prices are very reasonable. And for instance, a hot dog's $2.
Okay.
So the prices are very reasonable. So I say that from the standpoint that most people come here for the fair food, but I know some people are a little price conscious and don't necessarily have to get into that fair food. So you have as an option the concession stand in the Coliseum run by the Harding Athletic Boosters.
Fantastic. And again, profits going right to them?
Yes.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great, yes. Great cause.
Yes.
So there you go. And yeah. Who doesn't love a good hot dog?
That's right. So I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, I'm going to be here the rest of the week with Scott and friends. And so I have plenty more opportunities to check out the fair food.
Yeah. What was you into next as you're going up and down the rows here at the fair?
See, I'm leaning toward either a hero or a steak hoagie.
Okay, all right.
Tomorrow I'm not sure whether I'll be in a Greek mood or a West Texas mood, but
yeah, for sure. Now, is this going to be the only fair you go to this year? You're not sure yet, or
I'm probably probably going to be the only one.
Okay.
Now, I'm thinking about stopping in at the Waldo Festival. Take a minute and tell our listeners about the Waldo Festival this year.
Well, the Waldo Festival this year always has a lot of fun things, especially for the kids. It's July 14th and 15th, and we're hoping for some good weather. Praying the rain away. But there's a lot of fun inflatables for the kids. If there is a charge, it's very small. And the kids just have a good time down there. And for the adults, there's all sorts of businesses that have a whole vendor location set up. So you can get your shopping done. There's jewelry, you know, different things that you'd expect to find at vendors. You know, scented candles and, you know, whatnot. People selling clothing. So all that. And then there's going to be some entertainment, too. I can't tell you, Waldo Summer Festival on Facebook. Start there, or simply Google Waldo, Ohio Summer Festival. Make sure you're on the right Waldo. Where's Waldo? Make sure you get Ohio. And so that's a lot of fun. Now, Pastor Craig and I, we got our picture with Waldo last year, didn't we?
Yes, we did, yes. All of you that are familiar with the Where's Waldo book series, there was a Waldo walking around in Waldo, Ohio at the Waldo Festival.
We grabbed hold of him, didn't we?
That's right.
We
got our picture taken.
We did. Each one of us got we still got the picture.
That's right.
Yep. In fact, it's still up on the old website, as a matter of fact.
And so, listeners, I'm just going to tell you, we may have something to do with this year's Where Auto individual.
Yeah. And it just might be sponsored by.
And it might be sponsored by same person that's sponsoring the fair here. That would be Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. So if you have the time in 2 weeks, really it's about in 11 days.
Yeah.
You might want to come down to Auto and I'll give you a clue. I'll be easy to spot, but you might spend some time looking for me. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Just never know where Waldo might pop up.
That's right. Never ever
know. Not sure. So, he could be in the baloney house. You never know.
So, you know, you probably have some listeners that also follow you, but most of the listeners probably don't follow you. Amber and Nate Adventures. Tell us a little bit, our listeners, a little bit about Amber and Nate Adventures.
Okay. We operate a Facebook page under that same name. And what we're doing right now is we're exploring Ohio. We are in the process of attempting to visit all of Ohio's 88 counties. And so far, we have visited 60 of them.
Wow.
So we're closing in.
Closing in.
Yeah. So we just have the outer reaches of Ohio now because, you know, you tend to hit everything close first. Yeah. But something kind of funny, this past week, we went down to Lawrence County, which, of course, if listeners are familiar with the Ohio map, that's all the way down at the tip. So we went down there, and we wanted to visit something so we could count that as our stop. Dean State Forest. So we plugged that into the Google Maps. Off we went. So we're closing in. It was like, oh, this is going to be out in the middle of nowhere. You know, probably kind of pretty. You know, there's just a road and forest around us. We're like, okay. Well, it finally says, you have arrived. Well, there's no sign. There's no nothing. Just a road and forest. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. We kept driving. Nothing.
So I told, which way to the lodge?
So I told Amber, I said, hop out of the car. We're taking the picture. This is Dean State Forest. We did end up finding an old furnace down there to count for Lawrence. And do you remember the name of that
Now,
the first furnace we found iron. It was in one of those old iron furnace, olive furnace.
And to help maybe some of our listeners who are not really familiar with what an iron furnace is, take a minute and describe an iron furnace.
Okay, so back in the day, well, first of all, it's a structure made out of stone, and it goes up to a peak, and it will remind you of something. Well, it would have smoke coming out of the top. All right, so it's a kind of a funny-looking structure. If you've seen the old, Bible cartoons of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that's kind of what they look like. And but they would strip the area for us, just totally strip them, and they would burn wood, and I believe they would smelt the iron. Do I got that right?
Right.
And they were all over southern Ohio. Right.
And these things are rather massive.
They are big. They are big. And a lot of them are in disrepair. The olive furnace that we saw was... it was covered in weeds, and you really couldn't get to it, but you could still see about half of it. So we still got a decent picture of it. But if you're interested in these, in Jackson County is Buckeye Furnace, and that's actually operated by the Ohio History folks, and that furnace is in perfect shape. I mean, if you want to see one of these things in perfect shape, that's it. Complete with a gigantic spider. But anyways, that's just a side note. But Buckeye Furnace, if you're interested in these, look it up. And if you have any reason to be in southern Ohio in Jackson County, Buckeye Furnace is the place to check out one of these old furnaces, because that's the best one I've seen. I've seen Hope Furnace in Vinton County, seen different one of these, and I'm kind of interested in these because I've just seen them around. This was the best one I've ever seen. But anyhow, so back to your point about Amber and Nate Adventures, that's what we're doing, just traveling around Ohio and in each county stopping for something that's kind of quote-unquote well-known or that's been suggested on the Ohio Road Trip group or suggested by a local, something like that. Could be a restaurant, could be a covered bridge, museum, something like that. One stop in each county.
Now, when you do this every Saturday, then you and Amber take a little time Saturday night and talk about your travels, right?
We do. We do a Facebook Live at 6:30 on Amber and Nate Adventures on Facebook.
That's Amber and Nate Adventures on Facebook.
Correct. So and that and is so, spelled out.
Yes. So get on Facebook, hit the little magnifying glass, which is your search engine, and search Amber and Nate Adventures.
Another new way that might be a little easy for you, just go to amberandnate.com, look for the link there.
Okay.
Boom.
Now, in addition to posting that little where you talk about your trip, then you also post all your pictures from that trip.
We do we just put all the photos up we do the video first, and then about 9 o'clock that evening, we'll post everything up there that we have taken photos of, so you can just go through at your leisure.
Yeah,
check
because
that out.
Literally you put up 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 pictures.
Oh, yeah. It just depends on what we've seen that day, and we try to make it interesting. It's what we've seen that we think is interesting. If it's a local diner, we'll post the food that we've had. If it's a museum, we'll post exhibits, things like that. Just stuff to try to get people interested. And when we're done with the 88 counties, we've already got another idea. So it has to do with Ohio. So we're just trying to showcase the state because it really is beautiful Ohio.
Yes.
So.
And there's really a lot of stuff here.
There is. There's lots of things to see. And for people that can't afford to go on vacations to, you know, maybe you can't afford to go to Myrtle Beach or Florida or, you know, and you know, if you want to stay close, you can do it. You know, you can take a week and plan each day out. I believe the Ohio Historical Society operates like 55 different sites, and you can check into purchasing a membership through them and getting into all these sites for free. So there's a family-friendly option. So there are options to explore Ohio, which I think is really cool. So
wow, that's great.
But there's other options, of course, not just Ohio Historical. You just Google is your best friend when it comes to exploring Ohio. Things to do in, and then pick your county. I can guarantee you, you'll at least find about three or four that'll pop up. And then the Ohio Road Trip group on Facebook, also great. People are constantly posting where they're going there and giving suggestions.
Now, don't tell me, but have you already decided for this coming Saturday trip?
This Saturday is still up in the air, I believe. Have we discussed where we're going this Saturday yet? Have we discussed it? I don't remember.
Okay. I'm going to ask a question because I do not want to reveal where you're going, but I am going to ask, is it north, south, east, or west?
North.
All right.
Is that where we have to skip one? Okay, there. I'll tell you. I can't remember right off exactly where, but there is an area where we hit a county, but we have two that are separated. So we got to hit one county, go through a county where we've already visited, and go up and hit the next county.
Okay.
It's a hit skip.
All right. So you detectives out there, you see what is one county that they've been to up north already, and then you'll know that the two they're going to this Saturday are on the opposite sides of the one county they already visited.
Right.
How about that? There's a puzzle for you sleuths.
If I remember right, one is to the south and one is to the north, with the other being right in the middle. There you go.
Now, what are you going to do the following Saturday when the Waldo Festival's in town?
When the Waldo Festival's in town, we'll probably do something a little closer, which the closest we might have left is like Circleville area, which is like Pickaway County.
Sure.
So we might do something like that.
Okay.
Or if not Saturday, we might bump it and go to Sunday. So.
Okay. Great. Well, Nate, one more time, plug your Facebook page.
Well, thank you, sir. It is Amber and Nate Adventures on Facebook. Or if you go to amberandnate.com, the Facebook link is right there.
All right. Well, Nate, it was great having you here this afternoon. I really appreciate you coming by. Thank you for stopping in, and thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time. And we'll be here, Scott, Sean, Craig, and whoever else is coming by, so stick around.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege, for the first time by Joy Behar. You told a story on The Tonight Show after you left The View with Jay Leno that Barbara had threatened to fire you at one point.
Well, she did fire me. She didn't threaten to fire me.
She fired you.
Yeah, she told me she was not renewing my contract. You know, I spilled the beans inadvertently about Rosie O'Donnell coming on the show to the press, and Barbara was about to announce it on the Emmys, and she had a fit, and she was furious with me, and she fired me. She said, I'm not renewing your contract on the phone. I was like, well, it was a mistake. And she said, it was a big mistake. And then she took it back in like a half an hour.
When I typed in your name last night, something came up from your appearance on The View on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Snooki was on, I guess.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. And one day this week, I think she was on. And she gave a quote to one of the internet sites that says the first time she was there, she really liked Whoopi Goldberg, and this is her quote, Snooki. The person who wasn't nice to me the first time on The View was Joy Behar. Uh-huh. I was in the bathroom, and she goes, why are you pretending to be Italian? I don't get it. She was so nasty. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Do you like, don't like Snooki, huh?
No, she's fine. Let her go and be well. But that show, I thought The Jersey Shore, was not a particularly positive depiction of Italian-Americans.
Did you feel like you were being inquisitive, or do you feel you were being nasty, as she says?
No, I was not being nasty. She's overly sensitive. No one ever says that about me. That's the first time I've ever heard any guest